Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we're here at Shepherd's Valley Cowboy Church for a sermon by our one and only Mr. Russ Weaver.
There we go.
So the title of this that you're going to speak on this morning is How Big Is God?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Susie, you raised three kids,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Two of them were boys.
Uh-huh.
Tell me the difference in raising boys and raising girls.
Loads of difference. Loads of difference. Those boys were always trying to be big. They wanted to be big.
Yeah.
And they questioned themselves later on, am I enough? And I'm sure they did when they were younger. Am I enough to play the sport? Am I big, you know, enough to do this schoolwork?
And your kids were tough.
Yeah.
They're strapping.
They're big boys. Mm-hmm.
Big, tough guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough guys.
Yeah.
And
like that, 280.
Yeah. And it just wouldn't have worked if you had to come up to him and go, oh, EP. You're such a sweet little boy. Saw you raise him. There were times when
I had to get the switch.
Yeah.
And Paul, my ex-husband, the father of the kids, he said, "You better get your bluff in on those boys."
Yeah.
Because one of these days they're going to be bigger than you.
Yeah. And you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what my message is.
Okay.
It's Job. You know, Job went through all the trials,
mm-hmm.
and then finally God came and visited him. And the first thing he says to him, he says, brace yourself like a man.
Oh, boy.
Well, he's not talking to a girl.
No, he's not.
You
he's
know.
Not talking to a little boy.
But you,
he's
you
calling
understand.
Him to a different place,
yeah.
right?
Why would he talk to him like that?
You be a man.
Yeah.
You be a man.
And so before he could teach him anything, he had to establish
pecking
who's
order.
In charge.
Wait, pecking order.
Yeah.
Pecking order.
I'm going to be preaching about that. Don't give it away yet.
Not,
that's a little later.
That's not today. Okay,
today. This is similar, though. How big is God?
Well, we try to give you a little bit of a tinge of what he's going to say, but not give it away. So
there you go.
I think we wet your whistle on a really, really nice sweet tea. So I want you to grab that glass of iced tea. I want you to sit back in your recliner, and I want you to tune in to Cowboy Church, okay? I'm going to sing a song, Russ is going to speak, and this is going to be a two-part series, so it will be on next week. Let's go to Cowboy Church. Thank you, Pastor. Well, I think there's been some new life brought into this church this morning, and if that's you, then you have new breath. You have new being, you have new purpose, and I want to sing this song for you. There's a new wind blowing like I've never known. I'm breathing deeper than I've ever done. And it sure feels good to finally feel the way I do. And I want to love somebody like you. I'm letting go of all the lonely yesterdays. I've forgiven myself for the mistakes I've made. Now there's just one thing, the only thing I wanna do. It's what Jesus said when he came to earth. I wanna love somebody like you. Yeah, I wanna feel the sunshine shining down. Put your arms around me. Let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. I used to run in circles going nowhere fast. I take one step forward, end up two steps back. I couldn't walk a straight line, even if I wanted to. Sound like anybody here? I wanna love somebody,
love somebody like you.
Person next to you and say, that sounds a lot like you. Oh yeah, y'all brightened up the room with your smile. You can keep the smiles on and tell them something every once in a while. It'd be okay with us.
Yeah, I want to feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. And when you put your arms around, let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand, but you're teaching me to be a better who I am. Don't want to take this life for granted like I used to do. No, no, I want to love somebody. Love somebody like you. I wanna love somebody. Love somebody like you. I wanna love somebody. Love somebody like you.
Today we're going to look at the book of Job, especially the last part, chapters 38 through 42. And the reason we are is because this is a side of God that very few people preach about. And I think it's important to us to catch all that there is of God. And so I'm going to read a verse of scripture and pray so that we can tap into this little bit of the sight of God that we very seldom get to see. It said, as God is talking to Job at the end of his trials and tribulations and difficulties, and he says this in verse 3 of chapter 38, "Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them." I like these kind of messages because we're going to cut the flim-flam out of this. We're going to get right to the point. We're going to talk about at the end of the difficult times how good God is, but we need to understand how big he is. So we're going to be talking about how big is God. We're going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you today that we can learn from your word and we can apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray that today that we learn some more about who you are and how you operate and how you feel about things. And Lord, especially how we need to act and react to these situations. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I often thank God for the life of Job. Job is the one who lived through trials and testings and tribulations. When he starts with this, he reminds me, have you ever seen those of you who've been in the military and those of you who have watched military movies? The first thing the drill sergeant does is he gets in the face of the men that are standing there. His job is to prepare boys and young men to become men of war and soldiers. And the first thing they have to do is, and the first thing they do is it's not nice. He braces them. And God told Job, he said, now brace yourself. And I looked up that word brace, and it means to prepare for something that is uncomfortable. Prepare for something that is difficult, and this is not going to be pleasant. And you need to understand it's not going to be pleasant, but you've said a lot of things about me. You've asked a lot of questions of me, and today you get to hear the answers. So he starts out in verse 4 with the answers. He says, where were you when I laid the foundation of this earth? Tell me if you know so much. He goes on down through there, and I'm just going to pick some select passages here so that we can get an idea of how this conversation is going to go for the next few chapters. Verse 12, it says, have you ever commanded the morning sun to appear and cause the dawn to rise in the east? Have you ever explored the springs from which the sea comes? Have you explored the depths? Do you know where the gates of hell and death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Where did light come from? And where does the darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course you know all of this, for you were born before it was even created. A little sarcasm from God there. And you are very experienced. He walks right through all of these questions and he asks Job. And I don't think God would actually do this, but it's like he's going, hey, bud, how about this one? And how about this one? How about this one? This is not a pleasant conversation. And the word brace itself means to fold your arms and take it. Get ready to take it. And so I'm guessing, because God tells Job to brace himself, that Job's listening to this and God's pecking on his chest. That's the kind of atmosphere that's going on here. Now, I don't know about you, but it makes me just a little bit uncomfortable to think that God himself would be telling him, brace yourself. And if in fact, further down in chapter 40, verse 7, he repeats it just in case. Two chapters ago, Job didn't catch this. He said, brace yourself like a man. Brace yourself like a man. And God is serious about this encounter. Then he asks him in chapter 40, he said, do you still want to argue with the Almighty? You're God's critic, but do you have the answers? That's a difficult situation. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on Job. Job was a wealthy man. He had a great family. He served God. He offered sacrifices for his kids every time they went out partying, just to make sure that they were right. And in a day, he lost it all. There was a conversation between God and the devil. And the devil says, well, sure, he likes you because you keep him wrapped up. You keep him covered. You won't let me at him. And God trusted Job enough that he told the devil, he said, go ahead, but you can't touch his life. Well, he touched his kids' life, killed them all. He touched his animals, his homes. Everything was wiped away. Job was one of the men that used to sit in the center of town where the elders of the town would make plans for the community. And he was one of the leaders. And he had to go basically into isolation to where only a couple of friends would even come visit with him. He broke out into boils. His health went to pieces. And he was having a difficult time. And he had friends that gave him a lot of information. And if you look at the chapters where his friends are giving him information, it's not bad information, but it's totally misapplied. It doesn't fit Job's situation. They tell Job that, well, you must have sinned before God, or God wouldn't have done this. God doesn't do this to people that he loves and the people that are serving him. Why don't you just repent, Job? And Job says, I don't have anything to repent over. I've been living for God the way I'm supposed to. And finally, he gets to a point where he says, I just wish I had never been born. I curse the day that I was born. And at that time, years into the plague and conflict, God came to visit him. And the first thing, instead of comforting him and patching him up and taking care of him, and ladies, you may not understand this about men, but sometimes men just like to know the truth. Men like to be challenged to the difficult things in life. And God knew exactly who Job was, and he knew exactly how men need to be treated. And I'm just going to make a statement that just kind of a sideline statement that I think in the society we live right now, that we are afraid of masculinity. We've tried to make every man prissy and feminize masculinity and curse it when macho and masculinity are not the same thing. But masculinity is a godly concept. And when you're really masculine, sometimes you have to have these kind of conversations with each other. Sometimes you have to have them with your son. Sometimes you get to have them with your drill sergeant. Sometimes you get to have them with your boss. But the truth of the matter is, men need these. Men need these conversations because we need to be challenged. We need to be challenged from the core of our being. That in spite of all the circumstances around us and all the difficulties that we have to go through, that we can and we will stand up and we will live for God. And we understand who God is. We understand how he operates. And then we begin to get ourselves back. So let's look at this. We go to chapter 40 here. Job's responses. To God, he says, I am nothing. How could I ever find the answers? I cover my mouth with my hand. I've said too much, and I have nothing more to say. I've said too much. So the Lord jumps in on him again. He says, hey, brace yourself. We're not done here. Verse 7 says, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Verse 8 says, will you discredit my justice? And will you condemn me just to prove that you are right? Are you as strong as God? Here's those four questions that I think are foundational to this conversation. And it's a little bit cynical. He says, you are God's critic. In order to be a critic, you have to have some knowledge of what's going on. And God has already let Job in on the fact that he doesn't know what's going on. We could read down through chapter 38 and 39 and begin to understand that mankind has no clue how God actually created the earth. Mankind has no clue the kind of battles that are going on in the spiritual world. Man has no clue about God other than the revelation that God has given us through the Word of God. But you can quote the Bible all you want, but if your quoting of the Bible is misapplied to the wrong circumstance and the wrong situation, then you don't have wisdom that comes from God. It's not just knowing the Bible. It's knowing where to apply it to our lives. And when we get that, we begin to learn the wisdom of God. You know, the smartest people in the world are not necessarily blessed with a lot of wisdom. I'll give you, for instance, I got the privilege of speaking at a Mensa. Those of you who don't know what Mensa is, it's geniuses. You have to have 140, I think it's 140, maybe 144 IQ in order to get into Mensa. And I went into their meeting and they were so disorganized, they couldn't even hold it together. And I'm sure not all Mensas are like the one I went to, but I got there and my first question in watching them operate, I thought these were the smart people. Now, smart and genius doesn't always mean that they deal with a great deal of wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom are two separate things. Knowledge comes from the things that we put in there and the ability to retain it. But wisdom comes from being able to take what knowledge we have and to apply it. That's what wisdom is. So not all smart people are blessed with great wisdom. But God said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It didn't say if you were a Mensa, if you were a genius. It doesn't say if you were this or with that. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask for it. And these men that were trying to help Job so much, and I really believe that in their heart, they were trying to help him, but they were misapplying what they knew about God. And they were messing Job up, and they're making his life feel just a whole lot more difficult than what it was really, not a whole lot. It couldn't have been a whole lot worse, but it was worse because of their input. And the reason is they had good information, but it was misapplied. One of the great things about the Word of God is it gives us a foundation for when God speaks to us. See, our walk with God needs to be a personal connection with God. We need to be able to listen to God's speaking and God's voice in our heart. And when the Bible says that he'll give us wisdom, what he does, he tells us and gifts us with the ability to take the word that we've found in the Bible and apply it to our regular life at the appropriate time and the appropriate level. So he's working on Job and he tells Job, he said, are you God's critic? My dad had a little deal. He was a great horseman. One of the things he said about horses, he said, the worst thing you can do for a horse is make a horse think he's in charge. It's really a difficult thing for a horse to have to deal with, because when he thinks he's in charge, he doesn't listen and he'll hurt you. And it's not good for him. And it applies to children also. You have to make sure that they understand what the boundaries are. Because if you don't establish boundaries in the home, what you have in the home is chaos. And what God is doing through Job, because remember, he trusted Job. But he's now speaking to Job, not necessarily just for Job, but he's speaking there because now we get to read it and we get to apply it to our life.
If you'd like to write to Cowboy Church, the address is on your screen. It's also got a little QR code down there. That's fancy, but you just take your camera over there and it'll show you what to do. We want to hear from you. We want to see you next week, so come on back. God bless y'all.